I shouted to Ulaba to paddle in harmony, but it was all we could do to keep the crazy little boat steady as the speed of the river increased. I turned my head to see how our pursuers were faring. The stretch of open shore from which we'd escaped was enclosed at its downstream end by jungle, so they would make only slow progress that way. But there were the fisherfolk's boats, and I thought they might take to the water after us. But no, they were mounting up, in no haste that I could see, apparently giving up the chase. We were bearing down at speed on the islands now, and the current was so swift that I could see the water absolutely sloping as it rushed between them. I shouted to Ulaba, but there was little we could do to steer the boat. It slipped smoothly down the grey, foamy slope, which broke either side in white flurries as it dashed over the rocks, but immediately ahead the surface was unruffled. And if the canoe could pass through the great eddy at the foot of the watery slope without foundering, there was smooth water beyond. The islands were slipping past, and once again memory took hold, as I recalled the brown flood of the Ganges below Cawnpore, where we had to scramble in panic onto the mudflats with the muggers snapping at our heels. There were no crocs this far up the Nile, but I didn't know that as I clung to the gunwale of that rickety craft, absolutely bellowing in dismay as we struck the eddy, wallowed half-submerged for a frightening moment, and then surged through onto the calmer surface. We were sitting in a foot of water, but stayed afloat by a miracle. Surface tension, I believe, although I did not define it as such just then. The river was carrying us on at a gentler pace now, but we were in midstream with the banks as far away as ever. We must wait for a bend, when we might be able to guide ourselves to one shore or the other, no matter which, for pursuit must be far behind by now. I cried this over my shoulder to Ulaba, and she called a reply, but I couldn't catch it above the sound of the river, which seemed to be growing louder. I thought that strange, since we'd left the noisy rapids behind. But then I realized it was coming from ahead, a distant rumbling from beyond another crop of little jungly islands strung across the stream. In the distance there was a mist drifting up, stretching from bank to bank. The rumble was growing to a roar, the speed of the current was increasing, rocking us from side to side, and suddenly Ulaba was clutching my shoulder, pointing ahead and yelling, "The silver smoke! The great silver smoke!" I distinctly remember shouting, "The what?" And then it struck me like a blow. It was the abbed name of the Blue Nile Falls, beyond which Queen Mastiat had her camp. Ulaba had said nothing of their size, but from the increasing noise and the appearance of white water ahead among the islands, I guessed that they must be more hazardous than the rapids we'd already passed through, and that it would be a sound move to seek terra firma without delay. Had I known that they were the height of Niagara, I dare say I might have joined Ulaba's frenzied paddling with even greater enthusiasm. As it was, I flailed the water, blaspheming vigorously at the futility of our efforts to guide the canoe to one of the islands towards which we were rushing. She was shouting something, but the roar of the river had risen to a thunder that blotted out every other noise, even my own anguished bellowing. It was the damnedest thing. The din was deafening. We were racing along at the very deuce of a clip, and yet the water around us was as smooth as oil. Right in our path was a line of black rocks, great, rounded masses gleaming like polished marble, for all the world like the backs of whales. And as our boat collided with the nearest, I was sure it must be shattered to pieces. I seized the gunwale, screaming, but the rock must have been slick with river slime, for we shot along its surface for a sickening second before being flung into the eddies beyond. The current whirled the canoe clean round. Branches were lashing across my head and shoulders, and I grabbed at them in desperation, tearing my hands on the thorny twigs, but holding on, feeling the canoe slew round beneath me. I'm strong, but how I kept my grip, God knows. We were at the downstream end of a little overgrown islet. A few yards ahead, the smooth water was being smashed into foam by the jagged teeth of a rocky ridge, and beyond that, a mass of raging white water was vanishing into a mist as thick as London fog. We must be almost on the lip of the fall, and my arms were being dragged from their sockets by the appalling strength of the current tugging the dead weight of the canoe and our two bodies. I was half in, half out of the canoe, and it was slipping slowly away from beneath me. Another second, and it would have been gone, leaving me behind. But Ulaba, floundering in the water that was swamping it, made a frantic lunge towards me, seized my leg, and clung on with the strength of despair. I shrieked with pain as my palms slipped along the whiplash withies. They were cutting like fire, and I was losing my hold. The intolerable weight was dragging me loose, and in another moment both of us would be swept away into that thunderous